Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Well, I got everybody here and relaxed. I want to give a special, special thanks to one of the newest members of the team. That would be Kentuckiana Pump Sales. For every home, building, business, or municipality that all rely on the movement these pumps provide. The moment you need a water or sewage pump, you should be thinking Kentuckiana Pump Sales. They're like our first responders or essential personnel. Over 35 years of experience, best service, fairest possible price, and it's right over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. People, go see Harold or go see Mark. They will find out exactly what you need. Utility, sump, effluent, grinder, sewage, anything you need. 3303 Industrial Parkway, Jeffersonville, Indiana, of course. Or you can give them a call, 812-725-9217, or simply visit KentuckianaPumps.com.
It's awesome.
Here's the thing.
I have a read. I'll do it in the next break. Yeah.
Mr. Webb, I don't want to waste the resources of having you in here. Even the off-air conversations we've had have been, you know, something I think we should bring to the people.
Absolutely.
During the break, we talked about, I accused you of saying you'd be a one-year transfer had you had the open transfer rule. Could you address that question on air? Would you have been would you have tested the waters of the transfer market?
I doubt very seriously if I would have tested it.
Okay.
He doubts he would have tested it. Sorry, he didn't turn your mic on midway through.
What I'm saying, I doubt very seriously because of how I was raised.
Mm. Sure.
If something wasn't going well, my father would encourage me to press in. Mm-hmm. He would say that, okay, that means that you have to make them play you. You have to find a way to adjust through adversity and overcome adversity through working hard or finding a reason why you're not getting the playing time or why you want to leave.
Right. So absolutely.
That's just basically how I was raised. But this is a different generation, mm-hmm. different type of kids that we were dealing with. And also, I don't think that I think we've lost the reminder that kids today have 1 year renewable scholarships.
Yeah.
So you may commit. Wait, yes. Go ahead.
That's important. Yes. Yeah.
Say that one more time so people understand. What do you mean 1 year renewable?
College athletics, anytime you get a scholarship, it's a 1 year renewable scholarship.
Yeah.
Now, people seem to believe that you're committed to that university for four years.
Yeah, you're not.
But the university is committed to you for 1 year every year. Mm-hmm. And that can be up to 4 to 5 years. So if you go into the portal, you're basically leveraging your 1 year obligation to the university as they have leveraged their 1 year obligation to you. So I don't see I see long gone are the days where you see that athlete that commits to 4 years because the university, like I said before, commits to you for that 1 year. So I don't think it's a bad thing to see kids go into the transfer portal just to look. just to see what happens. Have that university recruit to you because basically they committed to you for that
especially
1 year.
Especially when you add compensation now. Right. Which is there.
Is there a detachment from the fan once a guy enters the portal?
I think there is a detachment from the fans because they believe that you committed to them for 4 years. But like I said, if you really look at it, the university commits to you for 1 year.
Yeah.
So I would love to see, let's say, for example, a Caleb Glenn. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him come back because I've seen this kid since he was in high school. You want to see him a part of your university, the university that you wore the jersey also. Yep. So you want to see those kids come back. But I understand the reason why he may have put his name into the portal. Hopefully he will come back. But at the same time, like I said, the university commits to you for that 1 year, and hopefully they'll commit to him for another year after, you know, this portal season has gone through.
Have you ever experienced, now you can say first person, second person, have you ever experienced the cringy your scholarship may or may not be renewed any moments like that?
I have seen it through other people, yes.
Okay.
I've seen that. Obviously, you know, when we were at the university at that time, I never saw anyone being threatened that if you don't get this together, you may not be here next year.
Man, Coach told me bring my playbook, man. He probably wants to talk about strategy.
Why does he want all my equipment today? You didn't see that back in the day. But I do believe that with NIL, with dollars on the table right now, and coaches thinking to themselves, okay, if you don't bring it this year, I'm going to have to find somebody to replace you because my job is on the line at this point, too, if you're not bringing it the way you're supposed to. So I see that trending upwards now because people know and players know that I may only be here for this year because they only committed me for that 1 year.
Where would you have went? Where would you have looked? I guess it's impossible to say where you went, but
nowhere. Heart was
never
wavered.
Where did you have other good relationships with?
Let me say this.
Like Marcus tried to go to UCLA. He tries to act like he's this. Oh, I'm Louisville through and through. He tried to get out of here, and his dad wouldn't let him.
For the Ville, Steve.
Yeah. But like we know that. Yeah.
Let's just be honest. When you are not playing as much as you want to play, you start thinking about who could have been there.
Sure.
I had a chance to play football, so I thought about going back to playing football at Notre Dame.
Wait, whoa.
That's pretty awesome.
Whoa. I'm going to have to hear the football story because I want to know if I believe you or not.
Well, it's not what you know. It's what can you prove. I still got letters back in the day from when I was being recruited for football in different places. So I don't have to
places
prove it
like
to you.
Where
I can show you.
In football,
Alabama, Notre Dame, any player. I mean, any school that is popular right now, I could have played for back in the day.
What positions?
Wide receiver and defensive back. I was a two-way player.
Okay.
What's my boy's name?
Hunter.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter. Yeah, Colorado.
Do you think they would have moved you to solely DB?
I would have been moved solely to DB. I was like, what was the kid's name at Notre Dame? The safety?
Was it?
Baltimore Ravens drafted him.
Yeah. I would have been more like him.
A Rocket, was it? No.
No.
I used to tell people the Rocket. I used to tell people the Rocket didn't get a scholarship until I turned mine down.
Really?
I love it. You know who I'm talking about?
Hamilton?
Yeah, Kyle
Hamilton.
I would have been like Kyle Hamilton. Yeah,
my dad said as soon as the super athletes got on campus, first thing they do, DB.
Yeah,
just you, I need your speed. I'll work with you. I'll figure it out. You know, I'll put you.
But I will say this: when you're not playing as much as you want to play, you start thinking about where you could possibly go.
Yeah.
So I will be honest with you. There were times when I thought about if I didn't play football, I could have gone back to. I'm from Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could have gone to Butler.
Sure.
And played there right away, but there was something in me that would not allow me to be beaten. So I would have a picture of the next guy in my locker saying, okay, this is the guy I got to beat out in next practice.
Yeah.
Or this is what I need to do to improve. So that was not going to be – it was in the back of my mind, but I would not allow someone to beat me every day in practice in order for me not to be on that court.
Absolutely.
Would you pass along that? Because you know, like I said, you know, the more things get transactional, the more you have to like say, okay, for your children, you know, would you design a specific easier route for them, you know, or watch them, you know, kind of, because, you know, you would kind of consider yourself banging your head against the wall sometimes just mm-hmm. to, you know, like, that might not have been the right path, you know, mm-hmm. but it makes you a better person, you know, but like how would you give the same advice that you
well,
got?
I have two boys right now, mm-hmm. two boys that played high school football and considered playing football in college. So, you know, we had discussions about life. Mm. You know, the easy route is not the easy route all the time. Mm. It may be easy at that time, but you are building kids' expectations up to make them believe that life is easy. Mm. So when something, when the door is closed, you don't kick the door in, you just go to another door. Mm. You can't always do that. That's not how life works. Yeah. So I would always advise my kids that if something is tough, stick it out. Mm. Try and figure out a way to get through that door, because that's how life is. Life is not going to be easy.
Sometimes I always, you know, when I talk to kids, I'm saying, hey, if you could go back and tell yourself something 5-10 years earlier, you know, you talk to a 15-year-old, what would your 15-year-old self say to your 8-year-old self, you know, like mm-hmm. did you, so what does a older you, what would you go back and tell your younger you to, you know, to you know, like advice wise
if I'm being honest with myself, I would probably have to tell myself, man, play football. No, honestly, I love basketball. I love the university. I probably played basketball for a couple of different reasons. One, even though it was my worst sport out of the three, mm-hmm. I had many people tell me that I could have been better doing something else. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge for me to try and prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. So I probably...
Was that the banging your head against the wall?
That was banging my head against the wall, absolutely, because mm-hmm. I wanted to prove people wrong at that time. I was a very good athlete, could run a 40 with the best of them, mm-hmm. could tackle, could run, could block, do all those different things. So I think that I probably would have played. Now, you know, physically, mm-hmm. I'm probably better off now.
Right.
For not having to play. But back then, if I would have probably made the choice to play football, I probably would have been playing on Sundays. I do believe that.
So when we're talking about, you know, these transfer rules, we're talking about all the adjustments to college. If we're fixing college, what would you, and I know we kind of, I was asking you about fixing things. Mm-hmm. What needs to be addressed the most in college? Like what, you know, what particular area? Because every time I have the NIL conversation, it's so lockstep with the transfer rule. It's like, to me, those two can't exist together. That is what makes it the Wild West. Like you have to almost separate them to structure them. And like I say, in general, my opinion, but I can't decide which one is
the chicken or the egg.
Yeah. Which one is more harmful? Which one is more potential to be harmful, you know, to college sport?
You know, I have these discussions with my friend Judge Brian Edwards all the time. And we talk about what needs to happen, or what should have happened?
Yeah, I have you in here. I
think about that, and I think first of all, you can't address the transfer rule without talking about coaches being able to leave the way they leave as well. So it's almost like you can't expect a college player to be in this lane the whole time. Mm-hmm. Without giving the coaches the opportunity to stay in the lane for a certain amount of time as well. So I understand the power that college athletes have now, because it's the same kind of leverage that coaches have had at some point. But if I could go back and change things, you would have a coach be able to honor his contract for a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and a player be able to transfer one time.
What about players having buyouts?
That's interesting. That's a good. That's what about trades?
Right.
Is that next?
Right. Because it makes you. Next? But I mean, it's an odd conversation, but it's kind of true. Because what if Trenton Flowers, if an NBA team would have had to say, okay, well, we're gonna have to buy his contract out to get him out of there? You know, it's like maybe that changes things.
Well, essentially, you have that with the 1 year. With a one-year scholarship. Yep. So you almost have that already.
Is litigation
It was my watch, thank God. Now, if that had been my knuckle again, I'd never came back.
Is
here.
Litigation like the only direction this can go?
It's going to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen at some point, whether it's
statewide or
whether it's on the college side or the player side. At some point, it's going to happen. Maybe somebody skips town after getting an NIL deal and just takes the bag with them without fulfilling their obligation.
Bam.
It's going to happen.
Bad loan.
It's going to happen at some point. Somebody's going to get sued for that. Someone's going to get I can easily see that happening sometime in the very near future because, you know, once you get money involved, you're going to get lawsuits to go along with it.
So absolutely will.
Does it take grandstanding, political grandstanding to okay, Bronny James will enter.
Bronny James, yeah, he's declaring for the draft as well. But he's still in the portal, he says. So,
what say you?
I think he was smart. His dad's a genius businessman. So it's like, okay, put your name in the portal.
Yeah.
Oh, get it out there. Now everybody's like, oh my God, the last 3 days, everybody's talked about Bronny James in the portal. That's all everybody's talked about.
Not LeBron. In my conference.
Right?
What's that?
LeBron's got a good guy, a good friend at Duquesne, and that's been a name that's been thrown out there. And now it's like, I'm going to try the NBA too. It's like, yeah, dude. I mean, somebody's going to draft him because you're going to get LeBron. Is it worth it? I mean, here's my thing. If you're picking at number 9, people are like, there's no way Bronny James is top 10 draft pick, top 15 draft pick. I agree with that. But if you get LeBron.
You can't stick LeBron and Bronny out there on your court.
Is that 9? Whoever you can get at number 9. Like, I don't know. Look up a mock draft right now.
What say you? What do you think about the LeBron and Bronny James experiment? Or you think it's going to that's actually going to be a reality?
I think it would be a reality because that's what LeBron wants. Now, we talked earlier in the show about what's best for the kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's best for the kid.
Fair enough. I don't disagree.
Because he needs to stay in school right now.
No, but who's the mock draft? Who do they got him picking at 9?
At 9, the Rockets are supposed to select Cody Williams from Colorado.
You think Cody Williams is better than having LeBron and Bronny together? For 3 years? Would you take 3 years? Or would you take Cody Williams?
Reed Shepard's right around there, too.
Hey, Reed Shepard. Can Reed Shepard beat LeBron one-on-one? Could beat Jack Golkey. Hey, it could be LeBron James.
Reed Shepard's tough.
I like Reed Shepard. I'm with you. I'm not. Listen.
In a game to 10, LeBron versus Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Are we really having this conversation? Yeah.
This is the type of crap this is.
Sports radio,
I'm
baby.
Like, freestyle what? Friday.
I know. What did you just ask me?
I know. Yeah. 10-7?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, but that pisses me off because you're serious.
Well, I was actually going to go 10-6.
Reed Shepard 10-6. And it pisses me off that you think Reed Shepard could score 7 points on LeBron James.
Well,
that means 7 buckets.
He's 39, Steve.
10-6. 10-6.
He's 39.
So I can take it.
If it is,
that's
then
an important
it's
question.
If it is, then it's definitely not that. Come on now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the transfer rule versus the NIL rule versus coaches, would you start with the coaching?
I think you have to start with coaching first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course,
because of standard,
it's never going to happen. But okay, if I can have it, if I'm the commissioner and I can make it this way, you got to start with the coaches first because they kind of rule how everything goes in the first place.
Mm.
So you start with the coaches,
like buyouts or just they have to honor.
They have to honor their agreement, honor their contracts, things like that. So that's one thing. I think then after you do get that settled, you have to go through the transfer portal. I mean, well, the transfer rule, because
to one,
because I'm of the belief that if I'm a 17, 18 year old kid and I transfer and I commit to a school, it may not be the best fit.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make a 17-year-old kid
commit
to that long-term, even though we established it's only for a year.
Right.
But make that commitment to that school as a 17-year-old, I can think about all the decisions I made when I was 17, thinking to myself, gosh, I probably should have done something a little different. So you should not have to hold that kid to that deal if that's not going to be in his best interest to teach him a lesson or whatever. So give him a chance to transfer, find that other school that fits him better academically, socially, athletically, and make the decision after that.
So second transfer is sit out a year.
Yeah, second transfer is sit out a year.
That's called the anti HVL rule.
I mean, yeah, I like that because I do think that that's why I think the one time transfer made sense, you know. And now,
why did that jump? Like, why did we jump over that?
Because it's what he said earlier. Once you take it out, it doesn't go backwards. It only, in my opinion, only goes forward. So when you took it out, you said, okay, one time transfer. It was like, okay, well, immediately. It's going to take 1 year. You're going to get a kid that's like, well, this ain't fair. I should be able to transfer a second time because something else.
Yeah, I think the waiver and the not having a unifying waiver board or decision maker.
Plus NIL, because now you have the argument. I mean, I'm going to a judge at this point, and I'm saying, well, hang on. Now, why am I trapped? Because my earnings I got more potential earnings over here, and I didn't know that a year ago. So it was a one-time transfer, and I went here. But now, if I go there, I'm going to make more money. Like that's why I say once they started it, it was like we're going all out. He said, "Wild Wild West." I mean, we're going all out. It's like it's essentially free agency every year. That's the way it's going to have to be from now on. And you know, unless you just completely shut it all down. I don't actually think you can do
that.
Who's
going to do that?
Yeah, who's going to? Right.
NCAA is probably.
There's so many lawsuits.
So many lawsuits. They're almost powerless at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how long they will be around.
I agree with that. No, I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah, so if I ask you this question, what is the NCAA to you? Like, how would you answer that?
It's a governing institution that listens to the presidents and the athletic directors of universities. That's it.
Yeah.
I think that they at one time had a considerable amount of power, but power to legislate, power to give punishments to people that do not follow their rules. Mm-hmm. But we have seen that even if you don't follow those rules, they really don't punish you. Mm-hmm. They don't have the ability to punish you.
Selective application. Selective
application. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I can basically say I don't care what you say. This is what I'm going to do, and you do something about it. And they have shown themselves to just kind of cower.
Is that more presidential influence? Like if you say the presence of the NCAA Blue Bloods, do they? Is it their influence that controls the NCAA
It's their influence that's going to make them basically say, forget you NCAA, this is going to be our football way of doing things, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
Presidents have is it like a political asylum kind of?
Well, do you know they're already in talks now about the article just came out yesterday, I think, from Ross Dellinger, where it was like the schools are going to start being more involved with the NIL too. So schools are going to be able to directly pay players now also. So it's like at that point,
You have so many different things going on right now. The schools being involved. You have collective bargaining.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. You have
100% you will.
You have what's the case out on the East Coast where the players are going to be considered university employees.
Trying to unionize.
So you have so many different things going on right now. The NCAA at some point is going to become obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close now. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Who has more influence, the university presidents or the shoe companies?
Ooh.
Who has more influence on college sport, the university presidents or the shoe companies?
I'm going to say university presidents. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because I don't hear about shoe contracts coming into football. Even though football is the – you know, is
the breadwinner.
It's the breadwinner. Yeah. But you only hear about shoe companies and contracts when you talk about basketball.
Basketball, absolutely.
So I'm going to say university presidents if you have to choose between the two.
The shoe company money in basketball, that moves you towards the pro Would you say that? Like, yeah, just
the I'll agree with that. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
I mean, what's the difference in pro sports and college sports right now outside of academics?
Advertising?
I mean, maybe advertising?
Television contract?
Yeah.
Because you got free agency.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what, I mean, what makes college athletics not pro sports now? I mean, the level of, obviously I'm not talking about the level of competition. I mean, we know that.
I'd say, and probably the fan bases that have developed over the last 70, 80 years is a more consistent.
But again, everything that we're saying would be something that's outside of the player, really. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more talking like to a player. Like to me, it's like a minor league. It's less money. You know, in women's basketball, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of these. I mean, like Angel Reese was pretty open about saying, "No, I'll make more money here than I will in the WNBA," and it's not close.
Right.
So, right. I mean, some of those places. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of what it is now. You just got to go to class.
Do you?
Well, and I don't even know that you do. Really.
Right.
That's a good
right.
point. Yeah.
And I hate to say this, and I was having a conversation with someone. If you are an elite high school athlete mm-hmm. that picks a school to go to, get you an NIL deal.
Yeah.
You really don't have to go to class, especially if you consider yourself one and done. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You come in as a qualifier. Mm-hmm. You get your NIL money. You don't go to school.
No.
At the end of the semester, you declare academically on probation.
Mm. Sure.
On probation, which means you get another semester to bring that up. In the semester, I'm out.
Yeah.
So you really don't have to go to class if you are one of those elite athletes to begin with. Get a little bag while you're there and then go and do the pros. That's going to affect the university's their pass rate. Yeah, I forgot what they call it. There was a rule that was put on.
Yeah.
They put that rule in there just for something like that. But, you know, these coaches don't care because half the coaches, by the time that's over, they're going to be gone anyway.
Well, yeah, and what you said earlier, the NCAA now is becoming so obsolete. Like, what are you going to punish me for my APR? Okay, well, I'm going to file a lawsuit against that. Because I'm going to be like, well, hang on now. My APR shouldn't be because...
Aren't classes like heavy Zoom now anyway?
Well, I've talked to a few people like with the team this year. I don't think many of them had to go to a class.
A physical class.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they were... I think Coach made them... They had to do homework. I mean, they had to do class. But I don't think many of them had to go to any classes actually like be there. Most of everything is done now.
I actually think Angel Reese got a exemption.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because she's too popular.
Yeah, you're like, I don't have to go sit in Gen Pop and do a class.
Actually, like, you mentioned something I wanted to circle back around to. Is high school recruiting becoming obsolete? Do you worry about high school recruiting become obsolete?
High school basketball recruiting or high school sports
recruiting.
And the reason why I say that is because I was in, as I mentioned earlier, I had to go to San Diego this week. Mm-hmm. On the plane with me was a kid from Fishers, Indiana. They just won their state.
Yeah.
They just won the state this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the plane with me. We were talking about recruiting. He's a junior in high school.
Yeah.
He said it's different for them now. He talked about, I get a few offers, and he was starting a team. Mm-hmm. He's like, I get a few looks here and there, but, you know, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So I heard a long time ago when this was just first starting that if you're a high school player, you may have to go to a lower level school because you're getting over recruited by these transfers.
Yeah.
Coaches are trying to get older. I think Coach Cal talked about playing against 24 and 25 year olds. That's going to be the state of college basketball in the future.
Yeah.
If you're going to be an elite team.
Again,
if you
look at the last two Final Fours.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You are going to get passed over unless you are just that good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It makes it's tougher because I was going to ask something similar to both of you guys with. It's like, for instance, there's some good players here in the city right now. How much emphasis does a guy like Pat Kelsey? Because I'm on the side, and I'm not one. Yeah, like, I do think it matters more here than there, it does most places.
Are there three spots that you have to just like leave
exactly
open to say?
And especially this year when I'm building a roster, mm-hmm. do I go get a couple? There's a couple guards at Evangel. I mean, Christian Dewar, the Tilly kid. I mean, where you're like, these are good players, man. Do you go get a guy or two locally to say?
Do you earmark three scholarships?
I think you have to. I think to keep the fan base.
Yeah,
I think you almost have to. Mm-hmm. It's almost a guy. I hate mentioning this. Remember Richie Farmer back in the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kentucky didn't really want Richie Farmer, mm-hmm. but Kentucky fans wanted Richie Farmer
sure.
back then. I think that for our program, a Louisville program, it's going to be essential that you have Louisville players on it at some point.
I agree.
So I wouldn't. If I'm
you
the coach,
like the three number.
I like the two number. Mm-hmm. I like the two number.
I think it's fair.
I think it's fair to have at least two local kids on your team. Albeit, I would like to have more, but you sure. at least need to have two local kids on the team mm-hmm. because the fan base wants to see players that they've seen play from high school.
I agree, man. I agree. And I it's
Marcus
not
doesn't agree with us.
I know, right? You can just see in his face. You're like, what are you doing? He didn't get okay. All right, you didn't go to Tennessee.
I didn't. I don't want that. I don't want. Okay, this is what I'm debating. Does that need to be a thing? Like, hey, every school should have, like, you know, almost like a collective bargaining, you know, thing where you just say, hey, your school needs to have two spots. My school needs to have two spots. Because I don't want it to be a patronizing thing.
No. I don't think you can go that route. I think that if there are two kids or a couple kids that are recruitable, mm-hmm. I think that would be good. I don't want to be like,
well, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want
you have to take these two kids.
Affirmative action.
No, I'm not saying that.
I agree, but every year in the portal, here's my thing. There's four kids right now. The Meyer kid at Coastal Carolina. There was another kid just popped up that you're like, every year they come out and it's like, man, they've got a look. They're from Louisville. You forgot about it. You're like, man, go get that kid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't have two spots a year because there might not be four. Like right now, there's not a four-star player playing in the city of Louisville. There's some pretty good freaking players in the city of Louisville. Mm-hmm. You tell me there's not two that have the potential.
Let me take it a step further. Absolutely. Not necessarily make sure that they're on the team, but I think you need to at least offer.
You're right.
Now, it's on them if they decide to go to school or not, but you need to, at least need to offer them.
So up the school to offer at least two local.
Yeah.
Are we saying statewide or citywide?
Statewide.
Okay.
Yeah. Statewide. I mean, I would agree with that. It doesn't have to be city. It's nice if it's city, I think. I mean, it does matter a little bit just to have the local. Like I said, it doesn't matter everywhere. So some people come from the outside. Like,
you mean it doesn't matter everywhere, like Louis, fan, like fan base wise?
Louis would scoff at this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's because you don't get it here. You know what I'm saying?
And I would say statewide. And the reason why I say that, people act like JJ went to Mayo. He grew up in Bardstown.
Bardstown, right? Absolutely.
So I would say statewide because I believe Louisville's just not Louisville. Louisville comprises the entire state, in my opinion.
I agree.
Even though it's a heavy blue state, mm-hmm. I think that you need to have players from across the state that have the opportunity to come to this university if they want to.
Outside of Caleb Glenn, which you already mentioned, do you what other player do you hate losing off this team?
Tyler.
Mm.
I hate seeing him go right now. Hopefully he'll come back. But I hate seeing the potential that he possesses under a different coach right now. That's what I hate
to
see.
I think, again, speaking just through the grapevine, so I think he's going to struggle to get eligible.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the problem there again. I think they really fought to get him eligible here the first time.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to struggle the next school, wherever. So I do think there was a chance they would have brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, I hope I'm with Judge Derwin Webb, man. I think he's a phenomenal player. I really do. Like I wanted to see him back. I just think might see him show up again somewhere overtime.
I tell you what, our last segment's going to be really freestyle. Got to do some housekeeping. Make sure we hit all our sponsors. I appreciate it one more time. I appreciate you jumping in here with us.
Yeah.
Again, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Definitely have an open door. We'll take our last quick commercial break. I'm 939 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Midday's with Marcus Maybin, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. In lieu of some of the recent weather events, I encourage you to pay particular attention to the next thing I'm going to say. Even though you may have heard it in a commercial break, I'm going to remind you and remind you, because this may make your life a lot easier. People, remember, your home is your fortress, and your first line of defense is your roof. So if your roof has obviously been under attack by either Mother Nature or Father Time, you should be calling Citadel Roofing and Construction. Citadel Roofing and Construction is locally owned and operated. We'll provide free inspections, estimates, and of course, they'll work with your insurance. Did I also mention their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau? Let Citadel Roofing and Construction protect the roof that protects you by calling 502-219-7964 today.
Also, a few things to remember. Want to shout out. We are going to have the Final Four this weekend. So I believe is your dad still out there?
Yeah. He's going to be coming to you live from Phoenix in a matter of minutes.
Hey, that's awesome, man. Yeah,
really quick. I have to get this in.
Okay, Melissa.
I was not actually two things. Where's Haley Van Lith going to go?
Kentucky. Just a thought. They got Kenny Brooks over there now.
Number two.
Okay.
Did you watch the Seton Hall Indiana State finish last night?
Oh, man. Dude, how about Dre Davis getting the game winner?
Josh Schertz, boo.
Okay.
Listen.
Get out of your system. That was a great game.
To give you a short backstory without going into the details.
Yeah.
Nikki and Pops have been big Indiana State shirts guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great finish.
It was a great game.
Right? And I could not stop thinking about him. You know, they, like I said, they were just gung-ho about shirts, right? And I was watching that, and I'm like, there's probably no bigger fan on the planet than Nicholas and Bob Belfast.
How funny is it, too? You could watch a game like that, and as good as the game was, as soon as they lose, I'm like, see, that's why he never would have made it at Louisville. One big play, DeAndre Davis makes.
They did not get a good shot. Now, listen, here's the thing. This is why the radio poisons you.
Yeah.
Because all you're thinking about is what the radio is going to sound like if this coach wins or loses.
Mm-hmm.
What is your whole world going to be like, you know, tomorrow? They had 8 seconds. 8 seconds down two.
Yeah. Start jacking up threes. Everybody's rear end puckered, and it was just like passing around, shoot.
They did not get a good. Did you see that they didn't get a shot off?
Yeah,
would you have criticized publicly? You go to the Twitter?
Well, I mean, like it's kind of tough. I mean, it's the always, you know, the ball's in the air. Good coach, bad coach. Good coach, bad coach.
Oh,
you know, depending on if it goes in.
And you're like he called. Fran Fraschilla
Franny
night was just Josh Sherrod's the whole game, man. I was like, gosh, dude.
You got any,
is this guy in the mob or something? Like, all the Italian announcers are just like, oh, Josh Sherrod's.
He is from New York, man.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It was a great game.
I'm happy for Dre.
Dre Davis had to put a bucket. It's Shaheen Holloway, man. He's a good coach, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, if it hadn't been Pat Kelsey, I mean, outside of the tops, I like Shaheen Holloway. I think he could have been.
Yeah, you can acknowledge. Again, yeah. After watching him, I think he has to stay East Coast.
I like guys that have coached against D1 teams before. I'd love to have Josh Sherrod. Yeah, thanks to George Romero's team.
Phil Baker back there. Phil, where's the pizza?
Yeah.
Only beat Minnesota and, you know, a bunch of others.
Oh, they beat Minnesota?
Just saying.
You mean they made it to the championship game of the NIT where 7 of the top 3 seeds didn't play?
How are you going to love Shaheen Holloway and hate on my boy Josh Sherrod?
Because Shaheen
No, you're just doing it to be a guy.
You want me to tell you why? Because in the last 24 months, Shaheen Holloway's beat John Calipari, Rick Pitino, Dan Hurley. Do you want me to keep going?
I'd love to.
Because, I mean, I can have a list of the guys I've watched him beat with my own two eyes.
It's
the best conference in the country.
But your argument is Division I opponents. I mean, they knocked out like 4 Power 6 teams to get there.
Let's thank Barinos.
My God.
And George.
I'm just saying.
George
terrible.
And Barinos.
Well,
can we agree that they both, I'm super happy with Pat Kelsey, but they both would have been fine here?
No, I don't think Sherrod's would have been.
Pizza day!
Whatever.
Where's Sherrod's going to go?
St. Louis.
St. Louis? Man, that's cool. That'd be a good
Where's
job.
Where's Pitino going?
That'd be a great job for
Where's
him.
Where's Pitino going?
What are you talking about, Pitino?
That was your guy.
St. John. No, Pat Kelsey was my guy.
No.
Pizza day!
George and the Barinos team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. They're celebrating 46 years in Louisville, man. It's that good. Barinos Pizza. Shout out Phil being here on time. Yeah, I wanted Kelsey from the beginning, and you know that. Go back and listen to the show.
Years.
That was my guy.
Billy Donovan.
Or Pat Kelsey. That was the two from the beginning.
That's a damn lie, and you know it.
Derek A. Stewart, shout out to our realtor, yeah. Derek A. Stewart. Again, all your home buying and selling needs, do not hesitate to contact Derek A. Stewart at 502-314-9868. Go ahead and play us out, Nikki. Appreciate you, Judge.
Hey, next Thursday.
Thank you.
Next Thursday, we will be at Kentucky and a pump sale. So clear your calendar. As long as we survive the Monday eclipse apocalypse.
It's anywhere from the rapture to the apocalypse. I don't know. So it might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. Something. I don't know. My dad's already got welder's mask out and stuff. My dad lives for these things. My mom thinks the world's going to end.
For potential apocalyptic events.
My mom is convinced Jesus is coming back for us on Monday. My dad has a welder's mask. So
he can stare directly into the...
Yeah, so it's just... Yeah. So that's where my life is.
Fun week. 93.9 The Bill.